Hello guys, how are you doing? It is a Thursday night. I'm actually posting this a little bit late. Just wanted to give some thoughts over the weekend. Had an amazing trip presenting for Matchroom on their host broadcast from the Monaco Boxing Bonanza in the Casino de Monte Carlo, right on the bay in Monaco. A fantastic night, kind of mixed card, kind of failed to ignite to a certain extent, but a couple of good stories along the way. Kind of on the boxing front, Daniyar Yelusinov, Kazakhstani welterweight who won Asian championship, won world gold, Olympic gold in 2016, beat the likes of Josh Kelly en route to that, is kind of making his way in the pro ranks, and he impressed with stoppage, kind of some laser rights. And I think a guy who's fighting Nicaraguan Marcos Mojica kind of didn't want to compete too much, ended up getting stopped, but looks sharp. Yelusinov, a lot of pressure on him, a lot of expectation, I suppose, and he's making his way under the promotion of Matchroom in the UK. He's fought in the USA as well already, and sort of obviously keen, I guess, from that amateur background, traveling the world to get out and about, spread his name. Big division, of course, some big names. It was a strange old night. The scene, a few hundred people, dignitaries. It was supposed to be Black Tie Affair. I wore a Dickie Bowen, Darren Barker, former middleweight world champion, who was hosting alongside me. We kind of analysed between the fights for territories outside of the UK, like States, New Zealand, people that want to pick up the world feed, who want English language analysis. And we were there, and some people sort of, maybe some of the more affluent types didn't quite go the full Dickie Bow, but Prince Albert II was there, son of Grace Kelly, reigning monarch. It kind of goes hundreds of years, this kind of strange sovereign state, second smallest state in the world after the Vatican. And it was a smattering of people, effectively, compared to the arenas I've been to the past few months. 80,000 at Wembley Stadium, Manchester Arena a couple of weeks ago, 20,000, that kind of stuff. But it was an experience. So Daniyar Yelusinov was kind of the class act on show. Frank Buglioni lost to Fan Long Meng, a light heavyweight contest in the ring in first up, and Buglioni has since retired. He had to retire on the night because of a cut. Was probably down on the cards, I'd imagine, at the time. I can't remember if they were or not, but he'd had a little bit of trouble against Meng, a southpaw from China who's had a kind of decent amateur career, actually, noted, but without winning big medals. And Buglioni is now retired, age 29, which is, you know, a little bit sad, but won honours earlier in his career, challenged for a world title against Fedor Chudinov, got stopped by Callum Johnson at British level this year, and perhaps just thought it was best to go on his way. He's had a big following. I think maybe that pushed him along. That kind of fickleness of boxing is the fact you sell tickets, you get pushed early. To a certain extent, you get protected, but also I think you'd end up getting pushed forward a little bit. And big following from Enfield, very popular guy, former model as well, good-looking lad, Italian heritage in North London. He's announced triumph, so best luck to him. Also on the nights, it was the main event was Denis Lebedev, who's a former world champion at cruiserweight southpaw, age 39 now, actually made his debut professionally in February 2001. But interesting story, and gives insight, I suppose, into the global rise of boxing as well, because he gave up the sport. He was actually a light heavyweight for the first few years of his career, 12 and a half stone, 175 pounds, and he chose to go because there wasn't enough money in boxing at the time. 2004, came back 2008 under the kind of encouragement of Alexander Povetkin, who recently lost to Anthony Joshua at Wembley in that heavyweight world title fight, former world champion himself, Povetkin, who's a Russian friend, and said a similar age actually to Lebedev, said to come back in 2008. He's had this kind of career, won the world title since, was out of the Super Series originally, which was won by Alexander Usyk, had a timeout, and he had a fight against a sort of unknown, unheralded, and unbeaten American Mike Wilson, a guy that kind of frustrated himself at amateur level, 35 years of age now, from Oregon in the northwest of the US. And he had wanted to compete at the Olympics, didn't make it 04, had faded out of the picture by 2008, was 19-0 coming into it the night, but looked like he was going to be outclassed by Lebedev early on. It's the first time he's mixed at that level, really, of elite level, the Russian Lebedev, who comes out in Air Force, Russian Air Force kit, which is fascinating to see, real regalia. And it was quite a contrast because Mike Wilson, despite being 35, has got some glitzy kind of skate gear, so it was quite a nice contrast of outfits. But Wilson had his nose really bloodied, really meshed up early by a southpaw. He was a smaller man at 5'11", Lebedev. But Mike Wilson was game and committed and kept going. His family, mum and dad were there, his wife, I believe, were out in the crowd and I think thankfully for them making that journey, and for him, I suppose, for this sort of kind of career high point for him and in his 20th professional fight, was that he lasted a night. But for Lebedev, I suppose people will look at it the other way and say that perhaps that indicates that he's not going to have another tilt in his 40th year. And it's just that sense of the passing of time, isn't it? I know you feel it, actually. I'm 37 now, and when you play football, just that little bit of gas goes. And it gives you an inkling, actually, the reality of life is it's finite. Energy only lasts so long. And that's for sports people. It's obviously a kind of more rapid realisation of that than for most of us. But it's a good reminder that you have to do seize the day, carpe diem and everything, because particularly a sportsman fight, Lebedev, you wonder if will regret maybe taking that 4 years out. And perhaps it is the affluence in boxing, the money, the energy in it that's attracted him back, and maybe a good decision for him. I'm not sure how much he got paid the night. Very classy guy. Saw him on the promenade in Monaco earlier in the day. Sun was out and he was strolling around in his tracksuit and came up and just shook a hand. And very friendly guy, actually. But just that sense, there wasn't that snap, there wasn't that energy that to do a quick 1-2 and let his left hand go, and couldn't then follow up to maybe force a stoppage against Mike Wilson to really kind of have an emphatic victory. And perhaps he needs to announce in the likelihood that Alexander Usyk, who was, of course, undisputed cruiserweight champion, moves up to the heavyweight division. So cruiserweight 14-stone-4 for people who are uninitiated. And it's a tricky move up now, because, of course, we're looking at heavyweight fights weekend where 6'9" Tyson Fury goes up against Deontay Wilder, 6'7" and a bit, I think, Wilder. So it's a land of the giants. So it's even at 14-stone-4 moving up, there's a lot of guys that struggle to make that 14-4 that perhaps can't make an impression on these big guys who are not only big in stature, big in weight, 17-stone, you know, 230, 240 pounds in imperial measurements, and I'm not sure what in K that is about 100 kilograms, something like that. Big boys. So that's going to be fascinating to see Usyk move up. But the cruiserweight scene, perhaps, you know, vacant now for people like Marat Gassiev to come back and other guys to make an impression. Perhaps Lebedev won't be one of those ranks. But it was an intriguing night, actually, an intriguing place, full of history, full of commercialization, of course, full of affluence, the yachts, all that kind of stuff. But kind of knock-on effect, interestingly, of that is just that ordinary things just get marked up huge. So a can of Heineken's €18, which would be probably 50 cents down the road. And that's an interesting perspective on the place, Monaco, actually, is how much you kind of want to save your money and go and live there. Perhaps fascinating place to visit. There's a lot of history to it. It's been a kind of state for incredibly, you know, resisted French control for a long time. On the night, though, for me, I guess the poignant one and the sort of highlight and the thing that got the crowd most roused was Michael Hunter Jr., son of Mike Hunter, who was a heavyweight in the late 80s, 90s, who actually beat some pretty big names. He won the North American Boxing Association Championship, and he beat Oliver McCall, who, you know, winning world title, fighting Frank Bruno as well, lost that night. And, you know, Pinklin Thomas as well, a big name from that era. He beat him, I think, on points towards the end of Thomas's career. Would have been nearly 40, I think, when he fought him. But he died tragically about 12 years ago, I believe. And his son, Michael Hunter, was a cruiserweight, lost to Alexander Usyk, actually, who I mentioned on route for Usyk becoming that dominant force, the Ukrainian. But he's moved up to heavyweight, 6'2" tall. People say he's a little bit small. He actually ballooned up in weight for his first heavyweight. He started out in heavyweight, but he's been a kind of yo-yo, gone on those guys caught between the weights, which is a fascinating insight into boxing, that sometimes you don't quite fit the weight, which is a huge part of boxing, is getting that right and mixing with the right company and competing with the right guys. But he's gone back up to heavyweight and had gone up to like 227 pounds, but has dropped back down to sort of 210, which is only around 210, 215. So a stone or so above the cruiserweight limit. So he's kind of found that natural ebb. And he fought a 6'7.5", 20-stone guy, a guy who was 70 pounds heavier than him, 5 stone in British measurements. And I think it was about 30 kilograms, if you like it that way. So huge, but he was just doing big overhand rights. And Alexander Usanov was 41 years of age, another Russian who'd only lost twice before, had challenged for a world title against Manuel Chara, a version of the WBA belt, about a year ago. And Usanov just looked, I mean, if you say that Lebedev had lacked that little bit of spark, a little bit of energy to go the extra mile, but obviously it was conditioned. Usanov wasn't, and Father Time had certainly kind of grabbed him and given him a rough housing and things like that, because he just looked lost in there. And despite a guy who was giving away 6 inches on him, and he's nearly 6'8", Usanov just eventually got stopped in horrible circumstances, really, because the referee should have stopped it earlier and eventually happened. But it's poignant words afterwards. I thought it was a rousing finish for Michael Hunter, who wants to tackle his heavyweight division. He's only lost once, as I say, as a professional in now 17 fights, I believe. and he'll join those ranks of Americans hoping to get involved in the British scene, which is where the energy, the money is, the magnetism of Anthony Joshua and maybe Tyson Fury, Dillian White, Derek Chisora, people like that. And he perhaps will be a kind of understudy that right now to Deontay Wilder and Jarrell Miller. But, you know, if he keeps making inroads, keeps entertaining, that could be interesting. He's a good talker. He's been part of Vladimir Klitschko's camps in the past as well, former, you know, reigning king of the heavyweight division for a long time. And he afterwards dedicated the fight to his dad, has set an intention for an emotional goal to win the North American Boxing Association heavyweight title to follow the ranks of his dad. So I think that's a good story. I think the fact that his dad was a boxer, his dad was killed, I believe, was shot maybe, if I get my facts correct, in 2006. So it's a kind of another story that people like with boxers that buy into it, that narrative. And it plays on the human emotion as well. And he's an entertaining guy, the way he went for Ustinov. So yeah, it was a surreal night. I had a nice swim in Monaco. I mean, that's the thing, the climate's fascinating. It's amazing down there. I went on the beach, went and stayed at the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel. Thank you to Matchroom and the people there in Monte Carlo for having us. And it was great. We had a dip in the morning on Sunday before flying back. And just amazing. The sea was warmer than England in the summer. And it gives you that sense of that aspect of lifestyle I'm very envious of. I think if you value money and things like that, I can see why people go there to save money and the tax regime and the affluence and the yachts and the places. But I think for me, that beautiful climate and the sort of facilities down there is big attraction. And the Monaco boxing bonanza maybe didn't ignite the way it could have done because with Lebedev and things like that, but it was a good night. Anyway, I'm Ed Draper, I'm a sports presenter in the UK. We'll update from time to time, but do get in touch. Twitter, Ed Draper 81, excuse me, got winter cold coming on. Ed_Draper81 on Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn as well if you're interested in my broadcasting activities. And actually trying to do a little bit of that with students, because a lot of broadcast journalists, wannabe presenters, TV reporters, writers, journalism students generally getting in touch and try and post some sort of insight information there, because I'm going about sort of 10-15 years now after graduating in the States. Did a lot of stuff out there, radio, TV, came back to the UK radio, and now mainly working as a TV presenter at Sky Sports and doing this world feed stuff at the moment for Matchroom, and writing a little bit for GiveMeSport.com, which you can find online as well. A few boxing articles on there. But anyway, I hope you're well. I might have a few thoughts later on about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury happening in Los Angeles, Staples Center. I'm guessing in the early morning, probably not that early actually, given the 8-hour time difference UK-wise Sunday morning, but I'm on late over the weekend presenting in London, so it might be difficult to watch it, but I'd love to, because I think that's going to be probably 5, 6am in the UK. Fascinating, absorbing match, and be interesting to see how much it grips America as well, because that's Wilder's big calling card, big pull, if he wants to negotiate a heavy price for the unification fight potentially with Joshua, should he beat Fury, which is by no means a foregone conclusion. But yeah, I'm kind of a sports journalist, and I'm interested in the sort of interplay between sport, why I've been enthused by it, what we learn from it, the mastery, discipline. Reading a piece today in the Times about a man who set up a thing in London with boxing, which is for some people morally contentious boxing because of the danger of serious ill health and death sometimes from it. But he's talking about rescuing lives in London, getting people off the streets from gang warfare, channeling that violence, that aggression. I think there's so many aspects of sport that are positive and not only just escapism, but you know, that witnessing mastery, witnessing dedication, witnessing focus, witnessing the ability to be present and things like that is why I love it. And I think a lot of those things are present in boxing, and courage in particular as well, that ability to do something in spite of fear, which I think is definition of courage. But anyway, good to talk. If you like these kind of freewheeling, just the audio updates, do get in touch. Just kind of need to do these more often and get a few more interviews up here soon as well when I'm out and about. Had a really good chat with Carl Froch and Matthew Macklin and Johnny Nelson over breakfast on Sunday, actually, in the hotel in Monaco. Former world super middleweight champion Carl Froch a couple of times. Matt Macklin arguably should have won a world title against Felix Sturm. People say robbed on the judges' scorecards. And Johnny Nelson, long-serving cruiserweight world champion, and talking about the dynamics of coaching and how the kind of opportunism of some trainers in boxing, that kind of people hang around the gym and maybe flatter a boxer into bringing them on board and flatter ego and insecurities. And so lots of interesting stuff from those guys talking about psychology of boxing. And it was It was intriguing, and how fatherhood mellows you actually, and complicates it when you're a boxer, which I've noticed in my personality. And I think they said that it kind of does make the kind of fight game a little bit harder to pursue when you've got that softer side to you that's provoked by becoming a dad. So things like that, and I'd like to talk to those guys about that and get them on here as well. But anyway, appreciate your time. Ed Draper, 81 on Twitter. Get in touch. Speak to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.